Please turn to Romans chapter 8 in your Bible. Romans chapter 8. We want to read verses 18 through 25. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer, and he wrote these words to the congregation that met in the city of Rome. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. This is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. It's very encouraging, it's very uplifting. Beginning at verse 18 that we read just a moment ago, and continuing through the end of this chapter, we are given assurance that numerous very special blessings are available to God's children. We learn what those blessings are, and when we fully appreciate them and take advantage of them, they will help us to serve the Lord faithfully. For example, in verses 26 and 27, we are assured that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Sometimes we have difficulty praying, putting into words that which we feel in our hearts. Well, we just need to do the best that we can, and we have the assurance that the Spirit intercedes on our behalf. In verses 28 through 33, we are assured that God works providentially on our behalf. One of the great verses in that particular section we've been studying at length on Wednesday evening, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. Doesn't say that all things are good, but it says all things work together for good to certain people. Those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. What a great message of assurance that is. Then in verse 34, we learn that Christ also intercedes on our behalf. How comforting it is to know that in addition to the Spirit interceding on our behalf, Christ intercedes on our behalf as well. We have to appreciate the fact that Jesus came to earth in the flesh. He faced all the trials and temptations that we face. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, though, that he faced his without sin. Consequently, he serves as our high priest, and during times of difficulty, we're able to call upon him for help. What a blessing that is. And then finally, we learn from verses 35 through 39 that nothing can separate us from the love of God and Christ. Now, those are some very special blessings that are revealed to us in Romans chapter 8. We need to think about them on a regular basis. And we need to receive the benefit that they provide. They will certainly help us to serve the Lord faithfully. But for a little while today, we want to concentrate on something very special mentioned in the verses that we read earlier, verses 18 through 25. These verses teach us about the glorious liberty of God's children. The Bible has a lot to say about liberty, but the Bible also speaks about liberty in different senses. We're concerned about what the Bible refers to as the glorious liberty. we need to appreciate this very special blessing. We need to understand what it is, and we need to be prepared to receive this very special blessing when the Lord returns. But before we study verses that teach us what we need to know about that glorious liberty, let's be reminded of several general principles that relate to liberty. Let's begin by talking about why we need liberty. Now, we're talking about spiritual liberty. Sometimes the Bible speaks about spiritual freedom. Those two subjects are discussed interchangeably. So if we talk about liberty or freedom, we're talking about the same thing. Why is it that we need liberty in the first place? Well, we need liberty, spiritual liberty, because of bondage to sin. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 6 that there's a payday for sin, but there's an alternative. The very last verse of Romans 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So as we think about liberty or spiritual freedom in general, we need that very special blessing because of bondage to sin. The other day, I heard a song on the radio that I wasn't familiar with. I'd never heard it before. I was not familiar with the singer who sang that song. But I noticed, I didn't hear all of it. Now, since then, I've listened to it on the internet. But it's a very dark, depressing song. The young man who sang it talked about his behavior, how it had harmed him, but he participated in that behavior as an escape. He described himself as being a lost cause. I thought, how sad. I had to pick another song and listen to it to be lifted up a little bit. I thought, I don't know if the young man is singing about his present condition or not. But I thought, he needs liberty from something. Something has him in bondage. Maybe he's struggling through that. I don't know. I don't know anything about his personal background. But sinful behavior brings us into bondage. A lot of people don't realize that. But the Bible teaches that very clearly. That's why we need spiritual freedom, because of bondage to sin. Well, we need to appreciate the fact that Christ provides liberty or freedom. We're talking about some general principles that relate to spiritual liberty. We need it because of bondage to sin. Christ provides it. In John 8 and verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So Jesus is the one who provides spiritual freedom. Also in Galatians 5 and verse 1, we find that reference is made to the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And Jesus teaches us that there's a requirement for receiving the freedom that he provides. In John 8 verses 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's imperative that we abide in the Lord's word. Well, that just makes sense, doesn't it? If Jesus is the provider of freedom or liberty, well, we have to come to him to receive it, and he teaches us to continue or abide in his word. That being the case, we need to allow the Lord's word to show us how to be free from sin. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and read a few verses beginning at verse 3. Now, keep in mind that Paul the Apostle was writing to Christians in Rome. These are people who had been set free from sin. But he reminds them of how and when that took place. Romans 6, let's begin at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. The Lord makes us free. And remember, he's the provider of spiritual freedom. But he makes us free from sin when we're baptized into him. And I want you to notice how later on in the same chapter, special emphasis is placed on the fact that obedience to the Lord's will is a necessity. It's a requirement. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So these very people in Rome to whom this letter was written, before they became Christians, were servants. But they weren't servants of God. Thankfully, something took place. They learned the gospel. They obeyed the gospel. When they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to them, they were made free from sin. They no longer had to carry the burden of their sins. I don't know about you, but I find that to be good news. People who are in bondage to sin need to pay close attention to these matters because the Bible teaches us how to be free from that weight. But having been made free by the Lord, we need to point out that he wants us to remain free. Let's look at Galatians 5 and read verse 1. We've already referred to this verse to show that Christ is the one who provides spiritual freedom. But let's notice the point that's being made. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We're to stand fast in the liberty that the Lord provides. And we need to understand from the same chapter that the Lord's liberty does not allow us to behave as we desire. We have to comply with the Lord's requirements. Look at verse 13. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Well, all of these principles relate to spiritual freedom in general. We understand why we need this very special freedom. We need it because of bondage to sin. We need to point out that Christ is the provider of spiritual liberty or freedom, and he blesses us with that very special forgiveness, freedom, or liberty when we comply with his will. But having done that, the Lord wants us to remain free. As I was trying to organize these thoughts, I couldn't help but think about an experience I had a number of years ago. Teresa and I were living in West Tennessee at the time, and this young lady was a member of the congregation where I preached, and she had three beautiful children. And her husband was very standoffish. It was hard to get to know him. We tried to be friendly to him whenever we saw him. But she told me one day that he was about to have to go to the hospital. And she wanted to know if I could possibly stop by and see him. Now, I suspected that he had a particular problem, but I didn't know for sure. But I found out. He was having to go to the hospital because he had an enlarged liver. He had an enlarged liver because of he abused alcohol. Now, I went for the purpose of trying to encourage him. But that young man looked me straight in the face and said, "I don't have a problem." I thought, "Son, your doctor has given you a diagnosis and you do have a problem. Hopefully they'll be able to do something for you in the hospital that will help you." But it was just denial. I don't know whatever happened to him because we eventually moved from the area. But I thought, how sad. Had a beautiful, lovely wife, 3 lovely kids, and he was in bondage to alcohol. But he denied it. Well, don't tell me that bondage is not serious. Thankfully, it can be overcome. It must be overcome with the Lord's help. Well, we've talked about some matters that relate to liberty in general, talking about spiritual freedom or spiritual liberty. Let's turn our attention for a few minutes to the glorious liberty of God's children that we've already read about in Romans chapter 8. So let's turn our attention to some things that are written in that chapter. The liberty that we've talked about so far will enable us to look forward to receiving the glorious liberty. It's a very special liberty. Now, we've already pointed out that the Lord provides spiritual liberty or freedom from sin when we obey the gospel. That's made very clear in Romans chapter 6. However, this particular liberty that we're concerned with now, called glorious liberty, is a blessing that requires us to wait. In other words, we don't have it right now. And several times in these verses, Paul says we have to wait for it. Well, if we have to wait for it, that implies that we don't have it at the present time. And in connection with that glorious liberty, it is pointed out that God's people face difficulties in this life. I've said many, many times that some people have the mistaken idea that when they become Christians, they no longer have another problem in the world. I'd like to know who was responsible for that particular philosophy. I know it didn't come from the Bible. As a matter of fact, these verses are very straightforward in showing us that even God's people face difficulties in this life. Verse 18 mentions the sufferings of this present time. We face difficulties just like everyone else. And according to what's stated in verse 21, deliverance from the bondage of corruption is something that will occur in the future. Now, we understand that we receive spiritual freedom or forgiveness here in this life when we comply with the Lord's will. But this very special, glorious liberty sets us free from the bondage of corruption. It's going to take place in the future. And in verses 22 and 23, reference is made to the groaning that takes place in this life. Sometimes I think about an earthquake occurring. I don't ever want to be in an earthquake, I hope I'm never in one. I know that there's a lot of damage that occurs when an earthquake takes place. But I have heard some video of when an earthquake occurs, and there's some horrible groaning taking place in the earth. Well, that's just a sign of a time of difficulty, groaning. We don't go out on the 4th of July when we're all merry and so forth and groan. Well, at least we shouldn't. I'm sure there might be some people who do, but we shouldn't. We ought to be happy. Groaning has reference to an unpleasant experience. It's a reaction to an experience that's not pleasant. Paul says, even we ourselves, referring to Christians, are not immune to the groaning that takes place because of things that occur in this life. But even though we face difficulties just like everyone else, God's people have hope. Look at verses 24 and 25 again. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hope enables us to look for a blessing that we cannot see. And the hope of receiving this glorious liberty leads us to wait patiently for it. Well, on Tuesday, we're going to celebrate our civil liberty as American citizens. Very special holiday. Maybe this has been a good time for us to be reminded of the glorious liberty that is in store for God's children. There are some things we have to face in this life that are not pleasant, but we look forward to receiving this glorious liberty at the judgment. Waiting for that requires patience. We can't be like the fellow who said, Lord, I want patience and I want it now. Well, it doesn't work that way. We have to wait. We have to remain steadfast, and we must never give up. The glorious liberty receives a lot of attention in the Bible. And I think it might be good for us to listen to a few words from the Apostle John. Let's turn to the Revelation 21, and let John describe this glorious liberty that is in store for God's faithful people. Revelation 21, let's start at verse 1. Now this is John, the writer. He often referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now I want you to know some things that will not be in existence when this glorious liberty is provided. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Go over to chapter 22. Chapter 22, let's begin at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, Was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month? And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Whenever I read these beautiful words from the Revelation, I can't help but think about something that one of my teachers said many years ago when I was in school. He made the observation that there's a lot about heaven that we don't know. But enough has been revealed to us to make us want to go there. As he said, the Lord has done a little advertising. I can see him doing his hand just like this. He did a little advertising. Well, the picture of heaven in the Bible is very special. This is the glorious liberty of God's children. Now, we receive spiritual liberty or freedom from sin when we comply with the Lord's will. But this glorious liberty will be given at the judgment. Well, let's listen to what John wrote in Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Some people wonder if this life is worth living. Well, it is. Life is a gift from God, despite what many say. And the Lord intended for us to be happy. Jesus came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, the Lord provides us with liberty or freedom from sin. And then he gives us the hope of receiving this glorious liberty on that great judgment day.